Thank you for tuning in to another episode of 206 Geek. I am your host, Todd, the 206 Geek, and I have a few things to talk about today. And today is episode number
37.
In a row?
So today's episode 37, and I figured I'd throw in some Kevin Smith Clerks jokes because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Kevin Smith is doing some scouting for Jay and Silent Bob reboot, and so there's some of that in the news. He's been posting videos of behind the scenes, kind of like checking out locations for the movie, and talking about that kind of stuff. And beyond that, there's a few things I wanted to talk about. As I said, we have some really cool Alita Battle Angel cosplay that I went ahead and shared on Facebook. Schwarzenegger's talking that this Terminator 6 budget will be between $160 and $200 million. Wow. It's going to be an amazing movie, right? It should be for that kind of cash. See here, and we got some Star Wars news. Let's see what it's. It was Mark Hamill opens up about the emotional impact of Han Solo's death, and then we have Warner Brothers unveils a new DC Extended Universe banner uniting its heroes, and there's also in the last week we've lost three. Celebrities. One you may not know right off the top of your head, but you probably have seen him or have heard him. And if you're into stand up comedy, and you like your stand up comedians, and you know some of the ones who have been local in Seattle and who have gone on to do other things, Brody Stevens. He lived in Seattle for a while in the 90s, I know, only because the first time I heard his name was on Seattle's Public Access. And he had a show with another comedian. You can find his Public Access clips, or at least whole episodes, I think, even, of his Public Access show in Seattle. If you just do a YouTube search for Brody Stevens Public Access. And you see a really young Brody, and he's very intense in some of the clips, and some of them, all of them, he's really funny. He ended his life last week, and I don't know the story behind it. I just know that he committed suicide, and it's sad. I mean, anytime you hear about someone committing suicide, it's a sad thing. And I don't know about you guys, but I've lost friends to suicide, and it's never a pleasant thing to find out that someone you were close to at one point in your life has decided to leave this earth, and because they felt that things were unmanageable and it wasn't worth sticking around for. Well, I can tell you right now, from personal experience dealing with the loss of friends like that, that they are missed. They are missed. I know that their family miss them every day. And a lot of their close friends also miss them every day. I'm sorry to start this off with such a downer, but this is something that is I need to talk about. I do. I mean, no matter how bad things get, no matter how horrible life seems, there's always a silver lining. There's always, hey, at least you have this, or at least this is going on, or people do care about you. People do care about you. And if you ever feel like people don't, and that the only option is just to end all of it, talk to somebody. Reach out. Say, hey, I need someone to talk to. I've, my mind has been in a very dark place, and I need to talk to somebody. You should always reach out if you're feeling like that. Always. If you don't have someone you can contact, a friend or a family member you can confide in and just kind of tell them how you're feeling and why you're feeling this way. And maybe they can give you some perspective. Maybe they can make you or allow you to understand that things aren't as bad as they appear. If you don't have someone you can contact, you can always call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 800-273-8255. In fact, if you go onto Google and search Suicide Hotline, it shows the phone number, and there's also an online chat that you can talk to somebody. If you don't want to call somebody, you can talk to them through a online chat. So, just so you know, there's somebody who cares about you. Regardless if it feels that way right now or not, someone does care for you. And it's just they may not be aware that you're having a bad day. They may not be aware that your thoughts are going so dark. You need to reach out and let somebody know that you're having these thoughts and that things just do not feel right. Talk to somebody, anybody. It's sad to think about that someone can think that there's no other option. So yes, please call the number, go onto the online chat, search for Suicide Hotline on Google. You'll find that information there. And the number 800-273-8255. It's open 24 hours a day, folks. 24/7. And we lost a couple other people this week. And actually, within the last 24 hours of this recording, Luke Perry died. He suffered a massive stroke, and he passed away this morning. And professional wrestler King Kong Bundy also passed away today. So, you know, my heart goes out to all the family members who are now having to deal with this loss. I was a fan of the original 90210. I know it's not something you would think I would be into, but I really like that show. And I actually enjoyed him a lot in Riverdale. He played Archie Andrews' dad. And I'm curious as to how they're gonna have his character leave the show. And King Kong Bundy, I just found out about that, and he was a popular wrestler when I first got into wrestling, when I first started watching wrestling in the 80s. He was one of the big guys. He was one of the big names. I don't know much about the actual person behind the character. I just know that he was just a very large dude, and I think he was also in the Goonies video Good Enough by Cyndi Lauper. He along with, I think, Roddy Piper, Captain Lou Albano, and Iron Sheik, I think. Oh, and Ivan. I can't remember his. I think it was just Ivan something. Either way, all those guys were in the video. You know, if you're a fan of them, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of, memorial thing for them, and there might be something for the fans. I don't know. Typically, when a celebrity passes away, they have some sort of thing for fans to show their appreciation. And, So, I'm sorry for starting the podcast off with such a downer and all this negativity and just not that, well, it's a downer either way. It's sad that these people are no longer with us. But the upside is that because of their fame, their level of fame, they will always be available for us to see in the things they've done prior to them passing away. So if you're a big wrestling guy, you could probably go find old videos of King Kong Bundy wrestling. The other thing, and as far as Luke Perry goes, I think probably one of my favorite movies has him in it, and it's the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. And he was in that. And, of course, Beverly Hills 90210. And he was in a bunch of other things. Those are the things that just kind of pop into my head right now. But, yeah. Let's see what else here. So, yeah, the Alita Battle Angel cosplay. I went ahead and shared that on the Facebook page so you guys can check out the pictures. And I don't think they did any kind of photo manipulation of her eyes, but she looks really cool. I think she did an amazing job with this costume. This cosplay is awesome. So go ahead and check that out. And I guess Terminator 6, it says here, you could probably count all the franchises that should be, hold on a second. You could probably count all the franchises that should be, didn't Hollywood on all the fingers on everyone in existence. Sometimes dinner team and business just can't get an idea no matter how many times it has been proven unfruitful. One such franchise is the Terminator. Wow, that was really... Okay, this is a story that was on LRMonline.com. This is it's a pop culture site for movies and TV shows and stuff. And maybe it's just my reading skills aren't that great, or maybe they just when they wrote this up it didn't flow properly. It's probably a combination of the two. It says here, its last blunder came from Terminator Genesis, which I'm still not convinced I'm spelling right. You are, but okay. With the rights going back to James Cameron, it was worth taking at least one more shot at this thing. At the helm this time around is none other than Deadpool director and VFX whiz Tim Miller. But how much money is being put into this thing? Star Arnold Schwarzenegger recently spoke with the outlet, the Arnold fans, and was pretty generous with his information. He says, and I'm not going to try to do an Arnold. My Arnold impression is basically an impression of an impression, which is just terrible. So is usually what I just do. I try to do the voice right, and then I just throw that in there, just kind of make it sound like Arnold. Just to give you an idea. It's terrible. David Elvison was the producer. He's, of course, a very young and ambitious guy who's raised money for the movie. Which is important. The budget was somewhere between $160 million and $200 million. Sorry. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't tell you exactly because the movie isn't finished yet. It's still being worked on. The visual effects are being done now. I've seen 15 minutes, and it looked great. I was very excited about it. That's what Schwarzenegger said. I don't know. I liked Genesis. I think I'm one of, like, five people that enjoyed that movie. I liked the alternate universe kind of thing they had going with it. And I liked the old one. The old robot fighting the young robot. I don't know. I enjoyed it. And the fact that that one of the actors who played Doctor Who was the bad guy. You know. Where's the button I'm looking for?
Spoiler alert!
Sorry, I kind of ruined that for you. Anyways, I went ahead and shared this story on Facebook so you can read the whole thing yourself. I don't know. I have hopes that this next one will be good, but then again, I like the last one. So, and you know what? Genesis I thought was like a lot better than the two that came before it. Which doesn't say a lot for the other two if everyone hates Genesis. I think the biggest reason why people hate on Genesis is because it changes some origins. And you know what? That's fine. We still have the original movies. We can go back and rewatch them if we really want to see the original stuff. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a nice way of explaining new actors playing old characters. And I thought they had some really cool effects, especially when they had a young T-800 Schwarzenegger's character from the original movie showing up and looking like he did back in, you know, mid-late 80s. And then, of course, we see the old one, Pops, I think is what she calls him in the movie, shows up and he's like 60, 70 years old, whatever he is in real life. I don't know. I thought it was good. I liked it for what it was. I wasn't expecting a whole lot, especially considering the Salvation was just fucking terrible. So yeah, I went ahead and shared that story so you can check out the rest of the article and what it says and what else. And then the story on comicbook.com where Mark Hamill talks about the emotional impact of Han Solo's death. I can tell you personally, it kind of fucked me up for the day. Because, I mean, I kind of expected it because there was rumors that Harrison Ford didn't want to do Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, but he was talked into it, or maybe they gave him more money. I don't know what the deciding factor was for him to continue making those movies back in the 80s. But he agreed to do one more Star Wars movie if they killed his character. And that's kind of what I assumed anyway. This is what it says here. This is what the article says. The events of Star Wars The Force Awakens provides audiences with a number of emotional moments, with even actor Mark Hamill having a strong response to the narrative. The actor recently expressed his disappointment that the film killed off Han Solo, preventing Luke Skywalker from having a reunion with someone who's close to him. And this is the quote. I just thought Luke's never going to see his best friend again. You know, you look at the self-centered way you look at it in a self-centered way. Hamill shared with Den of Geek regarding his reaction to Han's death. I said that it was a big mistake that those three people would never reunite in any way. I guess I was wrong because nobody seems to care. I have to stipulate that I care, but it didn't really seem to affect the larger audience. Luke, Han, and Leia will never be together again. And I'll probably never get to work with Harrison again. That's sad, man. I mean, I was hoping to see at least Luke and Han together in The Force Awakens, and that never happened. We didn't see Luke until the last 2 minutes of the movie. And I know that Mark Hamill had an issue with that because he said so. When he was at the Star Wars celebration thing that they had the year after that movie came out, he said that, you know, I was reading the script and I was like, hey, you know, this is where Luke's gonna, Luke's not coming out in this scene. No, this is the scene where Luke's gonna, no, that's not where he's coming out either. He goes, and then I find out I'm in the very last scene of the movie and I don't say a damn thing. Well, maybe that's not the exact words he used, but that was kind of the intensity of what he said. I'm paraphrasing, folks. I'm not quoting him exactly there. And this is what else it says here. When Lucasfilm announced they were developing a sequel trilogy that stars Hamill, Ford, and Carrie Fisher, would be returning, fans expected to see the trio reunite for the first time on screen since 1983's Return of the Jedi. The death of Han Solo and Luke's self-imposed exile to Ahch-To prevent that from happening, with the real-life passing of Fisher shattering any notion that the three performers would reunite for a flashback scene in Star Wars Episode 9. Yeah, I mean, I think they have... I remember hearing someplace that they have some footage that they didn't use for The Force Awakens and in The Last Jedi that they're going to use for this next movie. And we'll see Carrie Fisher one more time. And then it says here, Hamill also noted that he hoped to return to see Skywalker play a major part of all three films, as opposed to a brief appearance at the end of Force Awakens and his character's death in The Last Jedi. And he says, then the second thing was that they killed me off. I thought, oh, okay, you should push my death off at the last one, Hamill theorized. That's what I was hoping when I came back. No cameos and a run of the Thrilogy contract. Did I get any of those things? Because far as I'm concerned, the end of 8 really is the beginning of 9. I got one movie. They totally hornswoggled me. Poor Mark. I'm hoping that in episode 9 we're gonna see him kind of doing the same thing Sir Alex Guinness did in the first three movies, which was be kind of the spiritual guide for Luke. I think that Luke will be that for Rey in this next movie. At least I'm hoping, anyway. That's kind of what I would like to see. So I'm going to go ahead and share this story on Facebook for you guys, so you guys can read the rest of the story. I'm not going to read everything here because there's still a couple more paragraphs, and I got some of the things I want to talk about before the end of this episode. So sharing that on the Facebook now. And like I've said before, when I share things on Facebook, it also gets cross-posted to the website and onto Twitter. So you can check it out on pretty much all those places. TuosisGeek.com or at TuosisGeek on Twitter. Let's see here. Close that. And then onto Kevin Smith shares behind-the-scenes director shot of Jane Silent Bob reboot. It's really funny to see Kevin Smith dressed as Silent Bob when he is as thin as he is now. Silent Bob has always been kind of a big guy, so I don't know. This is there. If you follow him on YouTube, and I recommend you do if you like any of his stuff, follow his or subscribe to his YouTube channel, because he not only does he post like video versions of his podcast, Fat Man Beyond, on there, but he also has been posting like behind the scenes video footage of the reboot movie. And this is what the story here on comicbook.com says. Kevin Smith says that he should not have dropped out of film school, and in a new behind the scenes photo from Jane and Silent Bob reboot, it is a common joke from the filmmaker, who can be heard in interviews, stand-up comedy specials, and commentary tracks for his films, joking that he sets the camera down and walks away from it as his style of directing. I've heard enough of those things to say that's very true. It says here, the image is the latest and maybe the least spoilery that Smith has shared from the set, featuring only an image of Smith himself looking into the camera. You can see the image in Smith's comments below. And this is something he shared on Twitter. Here's me pretending to direct. My entire goofy job is predicated on capturing images, and yet after 25 years of making movies, I still don't know how a camera works. Nearest I can figure is they got pixies and or demons in there, probably shouldn't have dropped out of film school. I don't know. I think he's doing an all right job. You know, one of the things you do as kind of the lead person is you delegate. And he's been smart enough to delegate other people to do the actual working on cameras and stuff. You know, and yeah, I mean, he's always, and as far as Silent Bob goes, Silent Bob usually has one, maybe two lines, or maybe a short scene in every one of the movies that Silent Bob's in, where he actually says something. For the rest of the movie, which is usually like, what, 90 minutes most of the time, says nothing other than hand gestures and, you know, really funny facial expressions. See, that's one thing that Kevin's really good at, is making funny expressions. I've seen him post photos on his Instagram sometimes where he just has this expression on his face. It's like, why are you making that face? What is the point behind making this face? Are you trying to be funny? What is the deal? Are you surprised that you took the picture? You know, what is going on? And I think more often than not, he's just really, 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 really high. And that's why he has that look of surprise on his face whenever he takes his own picture. Maybe because, you know, he doesn't remember to turn the flash off and he's like blinding himself. I don't know. I just think it's hilarious when he has that look of surprise on his face when he takes his own picture. And then the article goes on to saying this: Jay and Silent Bob reboot will be a reboot revival of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which is simultaneously a parody of commentary on reboots and revivals. The movie apparently centers on Jay and Silent Bob discovering that Hollywood is rebooting the Blunt Man and Chronic movie that the pair set out to stop in Strike Back. And so now they are setting out to stop the reboot too. The film will bring back several of Smith's old regular tropes of actors, including Jason Lee, who plays Brody Bruce in Banky Edwards, Brian O'Halloran as Dante Hicks from Clerks, as you heard at the beginning of this podcast. You heard him saying, 37?
37.
Yeah. So, that's today's episode. And then we have a photo, because I don't know if, I don't think I talked about it on the podcast, but I shared it on Facebook a while back, a couple weeks ago, that Kevin Smith had reached out to Redbox via Twitter saying, hey, we want to use one of your machines in our new movie because, you know, video stores aren't really a thing anymore, so we can't, you know, we can pretend to have one for Jay and Silent Bob to hang out in front of, but we kind of want to update it for the, you know, 2019, 2020 kind of feel. And so there's a photo of Jay and Silent Bob standing next to a Redbox machine. They got in touch with Redbox and got them to do it. And it says here, other members of Smith's troupe who are less likely to return include Ben Affleck, who hasn't talked to Smith in a few years, and Jeff Anderson, who probably did not want to do Clerks 3. So yeah, I figured Jeff didn't want to do another Kevin Smith movie. He's probably done with acting entirely, because I haven't seen him do anything else either. Speaking of Anderson's absence, Smith recently posted a photo of Jay and Silent Bob standing beside a Redbox machine, noting that the film is in real life. RST Video has closed up shop, effectively leaving Anderson's Randall Graves out of a day job. This is what the Twitter post, it shows, the Twitter post shows a picture of them standing next to a Redbox machine, and this is what Kevin says in the tweet. This is not a Redbox ad. This is a big thank you to thank you from Jay and Silent Bob Reboot to the good folks at Redbox for a Gretzky-like assist in getting us a kiosk for our movie. I tweeted at Redbox in pre-production asking if they could help us out, and the Redbox-cateers delivered. As with all the good things in my life, this movie starts off at the quick stop and ends, and as in the real world, video stores like Jay and Silent Bob themselves are the thing of the past. So to help tell our story of how time marches on and how the past gives way to the inevitable future, having the modern version of video store clerk make a wordless cameo at the top of the flick really sets off the tone. Don't get me wrong, we're making a vulgar little comedy, but since the vulgar little comedian behind the camera nearly dropped dead last year, there is a surprising amount of introspection from Jay and Silent Bob Flick. I know this because I spent all weekend editing, cutting together 23 minutes of the movie, including the opening and closing scenes. The first scene is easily one of the funniest sequences I've ever shot, and the final scene is heartbreakingly beautiful for a movie about cartoonish weed dealers who go on the journey of a lifetime again. We start week two in 10 minutes. Wow. It's sad that we don't get to see Randall in this movie, but you know what? That's fine, you know. If nothing else, I mean, I'm sure we'll see, like, you know, the comic book man in the movie, and I know Ralph Garman's going to have a part in the movie. Maybe they'll have Ralph Garman be the Red Box guy. The guy who fills the machine. Actually, he'll probably have a bigger role than that. But I don't know. We'll see, I guess. So I'm going to go ahead and share this page so you guys can check out the photos yourself of Jay and Silent Bob sitting in front of the Red Box kiosk. I'm just imagining the conversations Jay will have with the Red Box machine. He'll probably sit there yelling at it, "Look at me, you silly bitch," or something to that effect. So, and then the last story I have here, and I think I may have a few other things to talk about, but I'm going through all this stuff a lot quicker than I thought I was going to. Warner Brothers unveils a new version of the DC Extended Universe banner. You know the banner I'm talking about. They show at the beginning of all the movies where they shows like all of the DC heroes standing next to each other as the camera pans back or pulls back. In this one, it shows it shows Joker, Harley Quinn, Deadshot, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Aquaman, The Flash, and Cyborg, all from the DC Extended Universe. And you know what? It's funny because Deadshot is not going to be in the next, at least not in the entirety of the next Suicide Squad movie. Because that's another thing that was announced recently, is that Will Smith has parted ways with Suicide Squad 2, which, you know what, his character wasn't that important to me in that movie when I watched it. You know, honestly, I just didn't really care one way or another about his character. I know his character was supposed to be the heart of the story, and him being a dad trying to do the right thing. I didn't care. His character didn't really matter much to me. In fact, none of the characters really mattered much. It was just a ooh shiny movie for me. There wasn't anything that I was going to be emotionally invested in. It was a superhero / villain movie where lots of cool special effects happened and probably had a cool soundtrack, because I remember all the commercials having awesome songs. So this is what the article on comicbook.com says. There is, of course, a bit of irony to the banner, as it's unclear when several of the characters on it will next be seen in the DCEU. Ben Affleck is officially out of the role of Bruce Wayne Batman as of a month ago, With Matt Reeves, the Batman, looking to cast a younger actor for the role. It was recently revealed that Will Smith, and I talked about this just briefly, recently even, and that it was also revealed that Will Smith won't be playing Floyd Lawton / Deadshot in the 2021's The Suicide Squad, and several spinoffs surrounding Jared Leto's portrayal of the Joker have been reportedly scrapped. So yeah, that Joker won't be in any more movies, which is I'm fine with. I'm cool with not seeing any more of the Juggalo Joker. That's what I've been calling him anyway. It says, and of course, there is that whole conundrum last year surrounding Henry Cavill maybe being done with playing Superman. While the DCEU has gone through quite a few evolutions in recent years, it sounds like the studio is pretty optimistic about where things are heading. It says, the upcoming slate with Shazam, Joker, Wonder Woman 1984, and Birds of Prey feels like we're on the right track. Warner Brothers President Kevin Tishihara said in a recent interview, We have the right people in the right jobs working on it. The universe isn't as connected as we thought it was going to be 5 years ago. You're seeing a much more focus on individual experiences around individual characters. That's not to say we won't at some point come back to the notion with notion of a more connected universe, but it feels like the right strategy for us right now. And it's a smart thing to do. I think they were jumping into it way too quick. You got to keep in mind, folks, that the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it took 10 years to get to the Avengers. It started off with Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk and Thor. Those are the first three movies that came out in 2008, 2009, thereabouts. It took 10 years before we got to the Avengers, all of them together. 10 years. It wasn't like 5 years. You can't rush that. You have to introduce all the characters. You have to have a decent story. You don't necessarily have to have an origins. You know, I think we've done origins to death. You know, if we're going to do any more origins, we have to do origins on new characters, not ones we've seen 4 or 5 times over in the last 20 years, 30 years even. You know, we don't need to see Batman see, you know, Bruce Wayne see his parents get killed again. We don't need to see Superman crash in Kansas. We don't need to see Spider-Man, you know, get bit by a spider and his Uncle Ben get shot and killed by a thug. We don't need to see any of that stuff. I know Spider-Man's a different universe. I'm just saying in general with superhero movies, we don't need the origins anymore. People know the origins. We're done with origins. Let's just kind of do a new movie that shows these people already existing and doing their thing. We don't need to hear the backstory again. So, see, this is what it says here. For the towards the end of the article, it says, upcoming DC films include Shazam on April 5th, The Joker on October 10th, Birds of Prey, and the fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn on February 7th, 2020, Wonder Woman 1984 on June 5th, 2020, and The Batman on June 25th, 2021. And The Suicide Squad on August 6, 2021. And Aquaman 2 on December 16, 2022. That's what's coming up with the DC Extended Universe movies. I'm looking forward to seeing Shazam. I liked the actor playing Shazam himself. I liked him. I liked it, what I've seen in the trailer so far. I'm really digging it. I liked him in the show Chuck. If you've never seen Chuck, I think it's on Prime. Check it out. It's a hilarious show. He plays in that show. He plays a bit of a kind of a gamer dork who works at like the at a fictionalized version of Best Buy and the Geek Squad. They call it something else entirely. I don't remember off the top of my head what they call it, but it's a fictional version of those two things. And he gets an email from an old college buddy where he, like, the email contained a video with all this top secret information. And because his character has one of those memories where once you've seen it, you always know it. You never forget it. It's there. So the rest of the show of Chuck is basically every time he sees something of, like, top secret or like government related thing, he has a flash in his memory of from this email he got, and he has all this information. And so it's a lot of James Bond mixed with you know, Chad from the Geek Squad kind of thing. It's a funny show. It's on, like I said, I think it's on Amazon Prime. If nothing else, I'm sure you can rent episodes off of iTunes or Amazon or even Google Play, and check out the first episode, see if you like it, and then go from there. But yeah, the show's called Chuck. It's the actor who plays Shazam, not Billy, the guy in the super suit. But yeah, it's a great show. I'm looking forward to the movie. See what else here. Anything else on here that we can talk about? I went and saw Alita Battle Angel today. If you have not seen the movie, I highly recommend going and seeing it in theaters while it's still there. Well worth seeing the movie in theaters. Don't wait for it to come to Netflix. Do not wait for it to come to Redbox. See what else. Anything else here on my feedly list? Captain Marvel comes out, I think, later this week. I don't know if I'm going to see it right away. I think I'm probably going to wait to see it, like, in the next couple weeks. Captain Marvel. Excuse me. Yes, Kevin Feige confirms that Stan Lee has another cameo after Captain Marvel. Yeah, it's still... I don't know. It's for me. I never knew Stan Lee, and I missed the opportunity to meeting him in person because I didn't want to spend my entire day standing in line to meet him for 5 seconds. But I think now that I thinking back on it, I'm thinking I should have done that. Let's see what it says here. Stupid video starting up. Close that. Let's see here. This is what the article, it's from comicbook.com. The passing of Stan Lee hit the Marvel fandom hard last year, but the icon hasn't been forgotten. The MCU's success due to and great to the part to the writer, and it seems... Lee will have an impact on the franchise beyond Captain Marvel. In recent news about a future Lee cameo comes courtesy of Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel Studios, made an appearance on the red carpet premiere of Captain Marvel this week, and it was there he opened up about the tradition of Lee's cameos. My memory is that it started a tradition on X-Men. That was the first time I was in on it, where he was a hot dog vendor, the producer said. Continuing, Feige said the days Lee hit the set to film were celebrated by the whole crew, and Captain Marvel was not the final film to enjoy his presence. It became a holiday on set, Feige said. It became a nation holiday when he was on set up to through this movie and an upcoming one as well. So that's good to know. We're gonna see him again in Captain Marvel and one that follows Captain Marvel. So I'm thinking maybe the next Avengers movie, possible, right? I don't know what's coming up after Captain Marvel as far as the MCU. So, anyways, I think that's it for today. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you want to hear old episodes, classic episodes of 206 Geek, back when I had a co-host, I had a couple of co-hosts at one point. I have all the old, well, not all of them. I have a fair amount of the old episodes on 206geek.com. Go to that website. On the left-hand column, there's going to be a link that says Classic Episodes. From there, you can go back and listen to all the old episodes of the podcast. There's also a section that says Interviews, where I've done interviews with people. There's also a section for games that we've recorded back when Joe was on the podcast. We did a couple of podcasts where we were playing Cards Against Humanity, and I think I'm going to go back and listen to some of them, because I think I remember the games being a lot of fun and had a blast doing it. I wanted to start doing that again, but I need to have people to play with, and where I live is far away from all my friends, so that's probably not going to happen anytime soon, but you never know. I mean, things could change, right? So yeah, check out 206geek.com for all the old episodes, all the classic episodes. And if you don't already, go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. I don't get on Instagram as frequent as I do on Facebook, but I do occasionally post funny pictures or things that I think that you guys would like. So check it out. And I will talk to you next week. Later.